We crave to feel our power. We crave a magical life. And that is possible. It is possible for you. It's possible for everyone. It is possible for you. A magical life is possible for you. And over these last 6 months, since I've gone deeper into my own exploration of my desire for sex, power, love, and money, and where I've been lacking in certain areas and what I want more of, I've seen that even more. I've seen how my life has become more magical and more full and more yummy and more delicious and more juicy and more everything. Welcome back to the Magic of Transformation podcast. I am your host, Stephanie Zeller. So excited for today's episode. Today we are diving into part 3 of the 4-part Sex, Power, Love, and Money series. If you have not listened to part 1 and 2, check those episodes out. Part 1 was episode 90. Part 2 was episode 91. If it's been a while since you listened to them, I would encourage you to re-listen to them before you listen to this part 3. These episodes really are additive, so it helps if you have the foundation of part 1 and 2 behind you. If you are new to the podcast, I'm so excited to have you here. I am a personal transformation coach. I have created the Transformation School. You can see my offerings and courses at thetransformationschool.com. Be sure to hit subscribe or follow the podcast so that you are alerted of future episodes, including part 4 of this 4-part series, which is coming to you very soon. Today's introduction is going to be really short because I am just really looking forward to you getting into this episode. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Welcome to part 3 of this Sex, Power, Love, and Money series. I'm beyond thrilled to be sitting down and recording this episode. I've had a very interesting dance with this series because I recorded part 1 and 2 about 6 months ago. And since then, so much has changed in my life. And I would almost call the start of this series a initiation. So if you are new to the personal transformation space, initiation is kind of like a buzzword where something happens in your life that initiates you, that starts you on a journey towards deeper transformation. When it comes to the topic of sex, power, love, and money, it's something that I have been deeply transforming for the last several years, doing like inner work, personal healing, personal transformation around. But whenever we create something, it works on us just as much as we're sort of working on it. And the start of this series has given me an opportunity to take these concepts so much deeper in my own life and do a lot of personal work and transformation around them, around sex, power, love, and money. And honestly, my life today, when it comes to sex, power, love, and money, looks so different than it did 6 months ago. And I think that I needed that time to deepen my own knowledge and experiential wisdom before I could bring you parts 3 and 4. So today I'm sitting down, we're going to dive into part 3 and we will see where this takes us. I have no idea what's going to come through. I just had this sort of intuitive sense that it was time to sit down and record part 3. So yeah, let's just do this thing. Now, hopefully you have listened to part 1 and 2, but to give you just a very, very brief recap here of where we are coming from, what the foundation of part 1 and 2 was. In part 1, we really talked about understanding how these themes are connected, how sex, power, love, and money are connected, and how manifesting them can be connected to. And we also talked about looking at your desire for more of these things, or at least more of one of these things, and how to claim your desire for more. And whenever we claim our desire for more of something, it's possible that we also have to face a fear that we might have around claiming the desire for more. Because oftentimes fear, especially hidden fear that maybe we don't understand or we don't know why is there, will stop us from really owning that desire. But the thing is nothing changes until we own that desire. So even if things are just fine or not great, if you're just living with that and in your mind you keep telling yourself that it's fine and that you don't need more, then you will never just stumble on more. Like we don't accidentally create a better life. We don't accidentally create a better career. We don't accidentally come into money. We don't accidentally come into a better love life. And we don't accidentally come into power. Like, these are things that we have to, on some level, claim that we want. And for some people, you know, it's like a deep internal desire and they have no shame around that desire and they really want it. Maybe they don't say it out loud, but they are aware that they want it. And those people can manifest, can claim it. But I think a really nice way to claim it and to manifest it is to first just claim it out loud. Just say like, yeah, okay, I desire a better sex life. I desire a better love life. I desire more money. I desire more power. And when it comes to power, just to clarify here, like, power doesn't necessarily mean that you have influence over other people. It can just mean that you are willing to be seen. Right? Like, power as in, I feel my own sense of power. I know that I can go out in the world and that I can do things, and I'm not afraid of being seen in the world. That can be like our personal power. So power doesn't necessarily have to mean power over others. It can just mean power and command over your own life and over your own decisions and over your own ability to do things and manifest things and create the magical, amazing world and reality that you're wanting. So desiring that, being able to claim that desire, that's really a lot of what we went into in part one. At the end of listening to part one, you hopefully had a good understanding of how all of these things are connected and why it's important that they're connected and why sometimes if you have difficulty manifesting one of those things, it's because there's another aspect of your life, there's another one of these themes that you need to do some personal, psychological, internal work around. And once you do, it's going to free you up to manifest multiple of them. And so if you want to dive deeper into that, listen to part one. In part two, we talked about why we settle. And then a large part of part two, we talked about your attachment style and how your attachment style is influencing your relationship to sex, power, love, and money, and your ability to manifest sex, power, love, and money. So when it comes to attachment styles, you can maybe be avoidant, which means you don't really want to deal with things. You kind of shut down, you avoid them. You could be anxious. Anxious means that we're like, I mean, essentially it's self-explanatory, right? Like, you're a little bit anxious around it. You can be a little bit clingy, or you can flip-flop between the two. So when it comes to sex, power, love, and money, you can ask yourself, where am I avoidant in looking at my desire for sex, power, love, or money? I will never manifest it if I'm avoiding thinking about it, or if I'm denying my desire for it, or if it's been so hard for me to manifest it that I'm just telling myself it's fine, I don't need it. All of those can be avoidant attachment styles. So if you recognize that in yourself, if you're like, yeah, I kind of shut down, or I kind of avoid looking at it, I avoid my true desire for more sex, power, love, or money. If that is you, then you probably have an avoidant attachment style. And it's really helpful to know what your attachment style is because it helps you spot your patterns. And once you've spotted your patterns, then you can start to do inner work to change your patterns. Or maybe you have an anxious attachment style. So where am I anxiously clinging or frenetically chasing sex, power, love, or money? Where am I like dog paddling? Do I have this dog paddling energy? Like, oh my God, I need this right now. Or once I have it, where do I cling to it so tight because I'm afraid that I'm going to lose it? So maybe I make some money and then I don't want to spend it, right? And I'm like clinging so tightly to it. Or maybe someone loves me and then I start to feel really clingy to them and I just want more, or, you know, I'm afraid that they're going to withdraw their love. So where am I anxiously clinging or frenetically chasing sex, power, love, and money? And then where am I flip-flopping between the two? Like, maybe sometimes I'm avoidant and looking at it, and then maybe sometimes I'm really clinging to it. Recognizing the attachment style that you're exhibiting with love or money is the first step. And then what you want to do is you want to shift into a more secure attachment. So a secure attachment looks like, first of all, just claiming your desire for more sex, power, love, or money. claiming your desire for better sex, whatever that looks like to you, claiming your desire for more money, claiming your desire for more power, more personal empowerment, more ability to just do what you want, more command over your life, or more power in the world, more influence in the world, and claiming your desire for deeper, more intimate love in whatever way that looks for you. Claiming it first, not avoiding it. That's moving out of avoidant attachment style into secure attachment style. And then being able to do enough personal psychological work around these four themes so that you're not having to cling to them or frenetically chase them. You have a secure sense of self. You know that these things are coming to you. You know if they come that they won't leave you, and you just feel safe and secure in that. Now, there's many steps to moving into a secure attachment style. This is not a short, fast process. Like, this does take a good amount of time, but you know, giving yourself what you need and subconscious reprogramming are like two out of, let's say, you know, the 10 or 15 tools to use to get this process done, to moving into a more secure attachment to these things. So that was a sort of very quick part two recap. So now today we're going to talk about part three. In part three today, what I really want to talk about is how we tend to unconsciously create our reality by little tiny actions that we're taking without realizing sometimes that those little tiny actions are actually in conflict with the life that we say we want. Let me just repeat that. We often create our reality. We create our life. We create our relationship with sex, power, love, and money by taking little tiny actions. And those little tiny actions, in a lot of cases, are actually in conflict with what we say we want, meaning, in a way, they work against what we say we want. So if I say I want more money, I might, without realizing it, be taking tiny actions that actually stop me from getting more money. If I say I want a better sex life, I might be taking tiny actions here and there, without realizing it, of course, that stop me from having a better sex life. And there's core reasons why we do this. And when we can start to see that and unravel all of that, we can start to free ourselves from those tiny actions, from those tiny behaviors. And then we can actually start to manifest what we say we want. So we can start taking tiny actions that are actually in alignment and in support of the life that we say we want. Now, let me start out by giving you a little bit of a personal example here. So if I want more power, more personal power, and I want to have more command over my life, I want people to see me. I want people to see the real me, the real authentic me. I want people to recognize me for my gifts and the value that I bring. If I have a history, and I do, this is a real life example of me. So let me say it in a different way. I have a history of people not seeing the real me. Okay. When I was growing up, I was sort of molded and shaped, as a lot of us were, into who my parents, society, coaches, teachers, who everybody else thought that I should be. And I acquiesced. I was this other person that I thought that I was supposed to be. I didn't know I was doing that, of course. I had no idea I was doing that. But I did that over and over and over again until I got into adulthood. And then I felt like, in my adult life, I had a lot of success in my career. I was actually very seen. Like, I was known by a lot of people. I had a relatively well-known podcast. I had a couple of quite large Instagram accounts. I, you know, could go into public places and be recognized. I mean, that was very common for me. So you might think you were very seen. And you had a lot of power. And in some ways, I certainly did. But then when I started to realize that deep down, there was something missing, I just didn't have a deep sense of peace. I didn't feel, it's like something was missing. Like something was just off in my life. And that feeling of something being off got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until finally I had to look at what was off. And what was off was that there were parts of me that I was rejecting that I didn't even know existed in me. It's like I had allowed the parts of me that I was taught were good and were accepted and would get praise. I had let those parts of me come out into the world and be seen. But then all these other parts of me, I was hiding. And so when I was feeling like something was missing, there was something missing. It was the parts of me that were hiding. And because I wasn't feeling whole, because I hadn't let those parts of me come out and play and be part of me, it felt like something was missing. And it felt like when people saw me and recognized me and gave me positive feedback even, it felt like it wasn't really me that they were seeing. And yet I continue to perpetuate that by not showing anyone who I really was, by not even acknowledging to myself who I really was, because I didn't know how. I didn't know how to access and liberate these parts of me that I had put into hiding, these parts of me that maybe my parents when I was younger told me weren't valuable, or maybe a friend when I was younger said something really mean, and then I hid that part of me. I mean, there's a million reasons why we hide parts of ourselves. A lot of times it has to do with shame, has to do with failure, like we failed at something when we were younger. And so then we just hid that part of you away. Like maybe when you were younger, for example, you wore something super eccentric and you wore it to school, and yet the kids made fun of you. And so what did you do? You stopped wearing something really unique, and instead you just tried to fit in because it hurt so bad to show that unique part of yourself and then have it be made fun of. And so you hid that part away and you started dressing like everyone else. And then here you are, 35, 45, 55, and you feel like something is missing and you love fashion. And yet you never really let yourself go there. Well, there's a reason, because you were shamed for doing it in the past. And so sometimes it's like people don't see the real you. People don't see the full you. People don't know that you have this amazing fashion sense. But the reason they don't know is because it's still in hiding. It's because you haven't owned it. It's because you're not showing people your fashion sense. So sometimes we don't really know what it is that we're hiding, and we don't know why we don't feel seen by people. But deep down, it's because we're hiding a part of ourselves. So this is kind of the like very nuanced, amazing journey of inner work and personal transformation, is when you do inner work and you start personally transforming, you start to uncover parts of yourselves that are actually really amazing, that are the true parts of you, that are so special and so unique that you've just had hiding in you. And then when you start to liberate these parts and you start to, you know, dress really well, or you start to explore the artistic side of you, or you start to go out and sing in public, or whatever these unique parts of you are that have been in hiding, when you start to actually show those parts to people, and then you get positive feedback from people, or people really see you, all of a sudden it feels so different to be seen. It feels so different to be in your power. It actually feels like you have power now. And this is, by the way, something that, I mean, it's like the main thing we do in my 10-month program, Your Life's Work. We go deep into like, what gifts do you have that you've been hiding that you don't even know are there? Because when we can liberate those special, unique parts of ourselves, our whole life can transform. And it brings so much joy and flow and nourishment to you. I mean, it brings so much joy, like that cup overflowing joy that often emerges when we allow ourselves to be fully expressed and seen, when we allow these parts of ourselves to start to live again. And it's hard to find those parts again. Like, we don't know that we're hiding those parts. Every single person listening, including you, has parts of you that are in hiding. And once you can liberate those parts, it feels so fucking good, let me tell you. So here I am, successful in my career, and yet I'm feeling unseen. I'm feeling unseen not only in my career, but I'm also feeling unseen in my personal relationships, my most intimate partnership, and also just like all of my relationships. I feel like people just don't see me. People don't see me. But what I ended up doing until I did the inner work was I kept feeling frustrated that people didn't see me. And the more people didn't see me, the more it reinforced the narrative that no one sees me and no one really values me. But the truth is that I didn't see me. I didn't see me, and I wasn't allowing myself to be fully seen in the world. I mean, if you don't even see yourself, then you're never going to allow yourself to be fully seen in the world. It's kind of like if you had an exchange with someone and you were really unsure of yourself. Let's use the example of, let's say you want a promotion, but you don't know deep down if you're like worthy of a promotion. You don't know if you deserve a promotion. If you sit down in front of your boss, whoever you're asking a promotion from, and deep down you feel like, well, I'm not really worthy of a promotion, the way you ask for a promotion is going to be so different. You know, there's going to be like all sorts of tone and energy in your body, in your voice. And that person is less likely to give you a promotion because you don't even believe that you deserve a promotion. But if you totally believe you deserve a promotion, you fucking know it in your bones and you sit down and you're like, hey, this is crazy. I deserve a promotion. You're way more likely to get the promotion because now you are showing that person the part of yourself that really believes you deserve a promotion. You're putting that energy forward and you're more likely to get what you want. If you want to be seen in the world, but you're hiding parts of yourself, even from yourself, and you're hiding parts of yourself from everyone else, you're going around saying like, see me, see me, see me. But deep down, you're like, I don't even know how to see myself. So what's going to happen? People aren't going to see you. People aren't going to see the real you. People aren't going to value the real you because you don't even value yourself. Very similar. So as we dig into part three here, we want to think about like, what is my relationship with sex, power, love, and money? When I think about sex, power, love, and money, how does that make me feel in my body? How would I feel if I had a lot of power? How would I feel if everyone was looking at me? Would that make me feel good? If I had total power over my life, would I feel safe with that? Have I been taught that it's safe and good to have power? Maybe if you are a woman, you might ask yourself, have I been taught that it's good for a woman to have power? Have I been taught that it's attractive for a woman to have power? Or have I been taught that it's not attractive for a woman to have power? I mean, this is something really interesting. Like the more power that I have had and stepped into as a woman, especially over the last 6 months, the more pushback I've gotten. And a lot of times from other women, because women sometimes, if they haven't owned their own power or claimed their desire for more power, feel uncomfortable with other women that have power. Because it triggers something in them. It triggers the part of them that is rejecting their own power. How do you feel about having more power? Does that feel good in your body? Because if it doesn't feel good in your body, if it doesn't make you feel lit up, if it doesn't make you feel excited, if you're not like a fuck yes when it comes to having more power, again, it can be power over your own life or it can be power and influence over others. There's nothing wrong with wanting influence over others, with wanting to positively influence others. But if you feel like there's a negative connotation with that, if you're like, no, I don't want to influence anyone. I don't want to share my opinions with a lot of people. I don't want people to be looking at me. I don't want to be in a leadership role. I don't want to have command over my own life. I just want people to tell me what to do, all of that. Then you're not going to have power, right? When it comes to sex, how do you feel about sex? What's your relationship with sex? What's your relationship with the people or person that you have sex with? How do you feel about them seeing you in a sexual dynamic? Do you feel comfortable with sex? Do you feel comfortable really being seen? You know, I had sex, my first time having sex was like relatively young. I mean, it was pretty young. And it wasn't a great experience. Like who has really great experiences like their first time, right? Like not very many people. And some of my first, you know, younger years experiences with sex weren't great and they influenced my later years having sex. So like maybe I wanted to have really good sex and then maybe I like showed up in a certain sexual dynamic. And internally, like I want to have good sex. And yet, am I energetically showing up in confidence in a sexual situation? Or am I energetically showing up a little bit unsure of myself in a sexual situation? Because people can read our energy more than anything else. So if there's a part of me that's feeling like, yeah, I want to have good sex and I'm nervous about that, or I don't really know if I want to be seen, or I don't really know if I want to be touched, or I don't really know, then what's actually going to be picked up is the I don't really know. And so if we're energetically putting out like, I don't really know, touch me, don't touch me, you know, fuck me, don't fuck me, like that kind of energy, what's going to happen? Like that's confusing. We're unlikely to have great sex. So what do you do? You do inner work to get to the point where our energy and our behaviors can match what we say we want more of. And there's plenty of work out there around relationships and sex and how to get our behaviors and our energy in alignment with what we say we want. If we want love, if we want intimacy, if we want someone to really see us in our intimate relationship and give us what we need, we have to, number one, be open to receiving that. If your dynamic growing up was like you took care of everyone, then when you get into a relationship, are you truly open to that person taking care of you? Or are you kind of in people-pleasing mode? And the way that you were always shown that you had value in childhood was by taking care of everyone else. So you actually overfunction by taking care of your partner. And then when your partner maybe even tries just a little bit to take care of you, like, are you actually open to that? Number one. And number two, have you chosen a partner that can, that is even interested in that? Because a lot of times we choose partners unconsciously that fit our patterns. If my pattern is that like I take care of everyone else and I don't need anyone else to take care of me and I take care of myself, then I'm probably going to choose a partner who's not interested in showing up for me. And instead of that is interested in me constantly just overgiving and showing up for them. So if I'm in a relationship with this person and then all of a sudden I realize like, wait a minute, I want greater reciprocity here. I want this person to notice me. I want this person to ask me how I'm doing. I want this person to also show up for me. And then all of a sudden you like spring that on that person. First of all, is that person even interested in doing that? Second of all, are you even open and receptive to actually receiving that? And again, that takes inner work to get to that. If I say that I want a partner that really shows up for me, but then I make side comments all the time about how my partner never shows up for me, that's like a little self-sabotage-y. That's like tearing my partner down bit by bit by bit and not actually giving them an opportunity to show up for me or thinking it's never enough. And a lot of times we get into these like downward spirals of just like resentment, resentment, resentment because our partner hasn't shown up for us in the way that we've wanted our partner to. And then there's so much resentment built up without even realizing it that like there's almost no way at this point that they could show up in a way that would please us, because we're so angry about them not showing up for so long. Again, then that takes inner work. It takes forgiveness. It takes a lot of inner work to move through that. And then we have to get to this point of like, what's my non-negotiable? What do I essentially demand in a relationship? What is non-negotiable for me? Will I stay in a relationship where all I do is give? Or if you're somebody on the other hand is who kind of always takes, and who never really gives back, but you want deeper intimacy. Like deeper intimacy really comes from both give and take, from caring deeply about the other person. So if you want to feel more connected to the person that you're with, you actually have to care more deeply about that person and not just about yourself. Again, that takes inner work and it takes reflection on the actions that you're taking. Like, am I showing up for my partner? Am I thinking about what my partner wants? And not like out of obligation, but out of love. Again, a lot of times, like we can just get to this point of obligatory actions. Like, okay, I know I should do this. And so you're just doing it because you should. That is not a recipe for a full, like a full, yummy, nourishing, juicy relationship. Doing things out of obligation is not the way forward. We want to do inner work. You guys, again, like I'm saying inner work like over and over and over again, because that is just the way forward. You want to do inner work first to discover what you really want, to heal your patterns, and then the actions of love for your partner emerge spontaneously. The route to joy, a joyful relationship with your partner, is not to just do things out of obligation. I mean, like, okay, I've been divorced twice and then also had other relationships. And my past relationships, like I went to therapy, like couples counseling and all of that. And like so much of it was around like, okay, take this action, make sure you use this framework when you talk to each other. And it was like so much of it was just built on constructs and obligation. And it was fucking exhausting because there wasn't the inner work really around it. Like, it was just like, okay, I should do this. And then it was all like, we were both tiptoeing around each other all the time, trying to do what we were supposed to do in order to make the relationship work, in order to make it better. And like, yeah, sometimes it would get a little bit better, but it was so exhausting. What I have found since then is if you can make your inner journey, your inner psychological work, like your number one priority, and understanding where your patterns come from, your attachment style, and go into deeper therapy or join a program that helps you do this, what happens is that you start to heal yourself. You start to release the resentment. You start to see your patterns, these little tiny behaviors, what your energy is doing. And then you can shift that internally. And then those actions that were before obligatory and so difficult to execute become spontaneous and easy to do. And that is like the more flowy, juicy way forward. And so we've talked about power, sex, love, and now when it comes to money, you know, I work very closely with a lot of people when it comes to money issues. Like, they say they want more money and yet they're not looking at their finances. They say they want more money and yet they're overspending when they get money. So it's like, why are they taking all these little actions that are in direct opposition of what they say they want? I've worked with people who have a lot of guilt for making money because other people in their family haven't made a lot of money. And so they're actually limiting the amount of money that they can make because they don't want their family members to look at them in a certain way. I've worked with people who feel like making money is evil and money is like the root of all evil. Money is just neutral. Money is just energy. It's just a thing. Money is not inherently good or bad. What you do with money can be good or bad. Money is not the problem, right? It's the people that handle the money. That's the problem. So I've worked with people that, like, you know, they think money is bad. And so then they stop themselves from making money. And then they suffer because they're not making the kind of money that they actually deep down desire. I've worked with people that they make a lot of money, and yet deep down it feels like they're never making enough. And so there's this constant drive to make more and more and more money, and yet it never feels like it's like an endless well of like, when is it ever going to be enough? Sometimes we have beliefs around the amount of money that we can make in doing certain things that we do in the world. Like, oh, well, if I do this job, then I can make this much money. But if I do this job, I can only make this much money. And so then we take these little tiny actions where it actually, like, we're creating that belief in our reality, versus if we were to throw that belief away and we were to be like, oh my gosh, I can make as much money as I want doing whatever I want, then we would be taking tiny actions to make that kind of money. So when it comes to money, you want to be able to ask yourself, what are my actions? Like, what are the tiny actions that I'm taking? And you have to get so real with yourself. You have to get so, so real with yourself, because oftentimes all of these things are so hidden, right? That's why it can be difficult to manifest things sometimes if you have hidden unconscious beliefs that are in direct opposition of what it is that you're trying to manifest. And that's why doing subconscious work and subconscious reprogramming, which I talk about all the time, is so important. And that's why in my process of manifestation that I teach in my program, Your Life's Work, we have a lot of subconscious reprogramming tools. That is our primary means of manifesting, is changing the subconscious beliefs. Because when you can change the subconscious beliefs, then your actions change naturally. Your energy changes naturally. So when you get to the core, because the root core is always our subconscious beliefs about any of these themes, sex, power, love, or money, our root issue is our beliefs about ourselves and our reality. So when it came to me, for instance, and like power and owning these parts of myself, I had a root core belief that it wasn't safe for different parts of me to be seen in the world. And so I was hiding those parts. And then I was walking around the world feeling unseen. I was being unseen by myself and I was feeling unseen by everybody else. But it was because of a core belief that certain parts of me shouldn't be seen. Do you see how that works? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that so interesting? So when I started doing my own personal transformation work, I started uncovering these parts of me that wanted to be seen. And then I started uncovering why I believed it was unsafe for those parts to be seen. And it always tied back to an experience in the past where I was shown that it was unsafe. And I had to do some healing around that. And I had to do some subconscious reprogramming around the belief that it was not safe for me to be seen. And then I had to do the hard work of actually allowing those parts to be seen. Now, this is a really silly example, but I think it illustrates the point. When I was in my past career, I was a speaker and I spoke on big stages, sometimes upwards of like 7 times a month. And I was traveling all over and I was doing all the things. And my field was really male dominated. And so I had just sort of subsumed this male dominated facade. Like I was always wearing suits and, you know, I wore a lot of black. And then when I started uncovering parts of myself, I discovered, oh my gosh, I like a lot more flavor. I like wearing different clothes. I like colorful things. Like I'm not just this masculine presence. I'm a fucking woman and I want to own the feminine side of me. So I like dyed my hair pink and I realized that I fucking love sparkles. And since then I've like come way more into my just the feminine side of me and I've embodied the feminine side of me. And now I feel like a much more whole person because I wasn't rejecting the feminine side of me because the feminine didn't thrive in the field that I was in. And so I learned to hide that part of myself. And I learned to hide that part of myself because for a whole host of other reasons. But then I started really moving more into it and I was like, fuck that. Like, I want to own my sexuality. I want to own my femininity. I want to own my beauty. I want to own the fact that I love sparkles. Okay. And then I had to start showing that to the world and I had to get comfortable with that. But as I did, and I was not wholly rejected, I actually started to feel seen. So that's me coming into my power. But I mean, if we're talking about femininity, that's also me coming into like my sexuality and it's me coming into sex and love because all of those things are connected. I didn't realize it, but I was perpetuating a narrative that I thought I needed to have success, to be safe, to be, quote, seen. But then when I got success, when I was seen, I didn't feel seen. Why is that? Because I wasn't fully there. So what small actions when it comes to sex, power, love, and money might you be taking? And I mean, number one, the biggest action that works against the reality we're trying to create is just not claiming our desire for it. And this is like the most common because we can't get there. We will never take actions that help us manifest or create the reality we want if we don't first at least just claim our desire for it. So if you're like, I haven't claimed my desire for more money, more personal power, more sex, or more love, if you haven't actually claimed those things, like you're never going to manifest them. And you're going to be taking actions that work against them, and your energy is going to be working against them. So you want to first claim it. But then once you've claimed it, so like maybe you're like, yeah, I've been claiming for a long time that I want more money. Okay, where are you taking tiny actions that are actually working against you making more money? Are you setting up more ways for income to come in? Are you very, very aware of your finances and where your money is going? Does your money have a safe place to be stored? Is it being invested? Is it growing? Do you have a healthy relationship with money from A to Z? Are you knowledgeable about money? Where are your tiny actions working against you, working against the narrative that you say that you want, working against the reality that you say that you want, working against the manifestation that you're trying to manifest? When it comes to love, are you open to your partner? Are you telling the truth to your partner? Are you telling your partner how you're actually feeling? Are you hiding things from your partner? Are you telling your partner what you want because your partner can't read your mind? Are you really being honest with yourself first and then with your partner about what you're wanting? How is your partner receiving you? Are you able to have a discussion back and forth? When it comes to power, what's your relationship with power? Do you even feel comfortable having power? If you say you want more power, what are ways that you're actually hiding yourself? What are ways that you're actually dimming yourself? Not letting yourself be seen, hiding your own power. When it comes to sex, like, I mean, I may get some flack for this, but sex and love and relationships has been my main area of focus and study over the last, like, probably 3 to 4 years now. And there's a really common sort of phrase that I hear in the space that I'm studying in, which is like, are you fuckable? Like, if you want to have more sex, are you presenting yourself like you want to have more sex? Or are you just shut down? Are you showing your partner very little interest? And then I think, honestly, it's worth asking yourself, like, yeah, maybe I want to have more sex, but maybe I don't want to have sex with my current partner. Like, maybe that's also happening. Because I feel resentful of my current partner, or my current partner is critical of me all the time, or my current partner, I feel like my current partner doesn't want to have sex with me. So there's like so much work that needs to be done there. Now, as you learned in part one, all of these things are interconnected. So a lot of times where we are staying small, or where we are taking little tiny actions, or our energy is working against us in one area, it can bleed into another. And I think power, in a way, is sort of the common thread through all of these things. Because in order to claim that you want more love, and in order to stand there and know that you're lovable, in order to have better sex, in order to make more money, you need power for all three of those things. So if you feel unworthy or afraid of any of those things, that may be bleeding into the other themes. And it may be why you're a little bit blocked in manifesting. And most importantly, it's like owning your worth around it, owning that you deserve it. Like, I want a great relationship and great sex, and I deserve that. And I'm going to stop taking small actions or being in energy or making decisions that are actually blocking me from having that. I'm going to claim that I actually want that. And when I claim that I actually want that, that actually opens me up to a better work life, a better career, more success, and more money. Because that's me being in my self-worth. And it's being me being in my power. And when you're in your worth and in your power when it comes to love and sex, it bleeds over to being in your worth and your power when it comes to success, career, and money. Because power is the underlying force field underneath them all. Self-worth, the ability to claim what you want, that's all underneath. To close here, here's a few questions for you to reflect on. Where are you staying small? Where are you staying small when it comes to sex? Where are you staying small when it comes to power? Where are you staying small when it comes to love and intimacy and claiming what you need and what you want and what your non-negotiables are? And where are you staying small when it comes to money and to really taking ownership and command over your money? Where are you withholding from yourself? Where are you settling and withholding from yourself when it comes to those things? Where are you not seeing yourself? Where are you not showing who you really are? Where are you not showing up for yourself? Where are you not making yourself feel good? Where are you not managing your own money? Where are you not saying and demanding what you need and what you want? And what parts of you are you actually hiding, but then you're angry when others don't see you? You're hiding because you've been hurt. And I get that. That's what I was doing too. And probably in a lot of ways and still doing to some degree. But the work of inner transformation, of creating a magical life, and of manifesting everything that we want, desire, and need is to move through that hurt. The obstacle is the way. That's why, again and again, I keep saying it's an inside job. You do the inner psychological work. You can do this with some therapists that are really, really good at doing this, like a Jungian therapist, like a therapist that specializes in internal family systems, IFS. A therapist that is trauma-informed and can do trauma work with you. You can do this in my program, my 10-month program, Your Life's Work. You can find that at thetransformationschool.com. But the work is to find the parts of ourselves that we've been hiding, find the gifts that we've not been showing, find the parts of ourselves that have been severed, change our beliefs around the fact that we think it's not safe to show those parts, it's not safe to let them be in the world, heal all of that, and then start to show the world those parts, start to claim what we really want. Where are you perpetuating your current reality, your current narrative? How are you being complicit? How are you being complicit with the life that you say you don't want? You say you don't want something, but how are you being complicit in that? Or said the other way, like I said at the beginning, what actions are you taking? How are you working against what you say you want? So this is why in part one and two, I said and alluded to, when you realize that you're not manifesting these things or you're not claiming them or that they're not coming in, the first step is not usually to demand them. And this is what I did. Like, I demanded, for instance, that my partner see me more. When they would do things to try and see me, like when they would say things to me or buy me gifts or write me notes or whatever it was, it never felt like it was enough. You know why? Because I hadn't seen me yet. So when we try to kind of cut to the chase and like manifest the external thing that we think that we need without doing inner work first, it usually results in something that is less than fulfilling. It doesn't feel like it quite hit the mark. So you want to do the inner work first to understand what it is psychologically and subconsciously that is actually blocking you. And you want to relieve yourself of that. And you want to let these other parts of you that are so juicy and wonderful and magnetic and amazing and exciting to come to life and to be seen in the world. And once you start doing that, you'll come into your power. You will attract more love, sex, power, and money naturally. Like naturally, it will just come to you. And that has largely been my journey over the last 6 months. Like over the last 6 months, I've seen little things I was doing, the energetics, little actions that I was still taking. I would say largely for me, this centered around probably power, like the underlying core of it all, of parts of me that still didn't feel super safe to be seen in a lot of ways, right? Like out in the world, in my career, just day to day being seen with other people, sexually, all these things. And moving deeper into like a safety of, yeah, it's really safe for me to be seen. It's really safe for me to own my fucking power. It's safe for me to show that to the world because I see me and I value me and I know that I'm fucking awesome. And really now that I see me and I own myself and I love myself and I love my company and all those things, and I've met my own needs in so many ways, it actually makes all those things that I was manifesting external to me much less important. And so I've moved from like an anxious attachment or a clingy attachment or an avoidant attachment of not looking at it. I've moved from those insecure attachment styles into a secure attachment. And what happens when we shift into a secure attachment? Or even I would dare say like a feeling of not even being attached, because it's like, I feel less and less like I need the external things because I feel so comfortable in my own skin. And what happens when there's like that sexy indifference? We end up manifesting all those things, and all those things end up coming to us naturally, easily, because we care less and less about them because we have what we need. We have what we need within, and that's what I want for you. And that's really what part three is about here. It's about understanding your own narratives, your own patterns, your own story, where you've been energetically out of alignment or taking tiny, tiny actions without even realizing it that work against what you say that you want. And now that you've heard this episode, I want you to just sit with this and let this marinate and start to discover for yourself where this might be happening for you. And I would just so deeply encourage you to work with somebody on this, whether it be like a coach, like a relationship coach or a money coach or a sex coach, or you enroll in a program, at the very least, you get books on it. You know, you work with a really rad therapist, again, like Jungian, IFS, trauma-informed therapist, or of course you can work with me. If you're interested in this, I would say Your Life's Work is the best program that I'm currently offering for this. You can find that again at thetransformationschool.com. And in that program, I teach you the ins and outs of manifesting. So you can really work at that core level of changing things. We crave more because we crave wholeness. We crave to feel our power. We crave a magical life. And that is possible. It is possible for you. It's possible for everyone. It is possible for you. A magical life is possible for you. And over these last 6 months, since I've gone deeper into my own exploration of my desire for sex, power, love, and money, and where I've been lacking in certain areas and what I want more of, I've seen that even more. I've seen how my life has become more magical and more full and more yummy and more delicious and more juicy and more everything. I'm so grateful for that. Like, I'm so grateful that I started this series and that I've had this initiation and it's forced me to go deeper. And there have been really hard parts. There have been moments where I've had to work through some really deep shit and I've had to unearth some things and I've had to heal some things. And that is part of it. But you don't get to the rainbow. You don't get to that pot of gold on the other side until you do that work. But the work is the way. The obstacle is the way. You have to go through it. Being avoidant or anxiously attaching or clinging is not going to get you there. It's not going to get you there fully. It's not going to get you to that yummy, juicy, full, magnetic, magical life that you're craving and that you deserve. So what I would encourage you to do is listen back through part one, part two, part three. Really let this marinate in your mind. Ask for support where you need. Of course, I'm always here for you. And start to explore, where can I step up? Where can I own my power? Where can I own my desire for more? Where can I be bigger? Where can I start taking more aligned actions that are energetically aligned and aligned with what I say that I'm wanting? Where can I make sure that I'm taking those actions? And then I would just encourage you to hold on to your desire. Do the work and hold on, because you can manifest anything that your heart is wanting. I love talking about this kind of stuff. I have been sending out more what I call magic doses, which are little emails. And in these emails, I give you a little burst of magic and inspiration. If you are interested in getting a magic dose and being on that list, check that out in the show notes below, because those are just like little treats, little motivational treats that can help you a few times a month. And lately, I've just been getting a lot of really amazing feedback from subscribers. So check that out in the show notes. Also check out thetransformationschool.com, check out Your Life's Work. And if this episode really resonated with you, it would be so great. I would so appreciate if you would give me a 5-star review wherever you are listening. If you write a written review on Apple, you will be entered in to win a 1-on-1 magic session with me. And if you know somebody else that could benefit from this episode, pass it along to them. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. I can't wait until we dive into part 4. I think we're going to get even deeper in the weeds. We'll see what happens. I hope you've enjoyed the first 3 parts of this series. Here is to you manifesting more sex, power, love, and money. We'll see you next time.